Welcome back to the Jacobsville Podcast. This week on the School of Unlearning, we're talking about spiritual multiplication, what it looks like to invest in other disciples, disciples who make disciples. Thanks for joining us. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Shua, how are you?
I'm doing very good. How about yourself?
I'm all right. I'm on a week where I'm trying to get some things done, so I get to go away for a week or so next week, and looking forward to that. And like a lot of people, loving summer. These last couple of days have been awesome, cool, and wonderful. The fishing's been pretty good.
Good.
Yeah.
Spending a lot of time on the word.
Not as much as I'd like, but yes, I have got out last evening or two. I didn't go out last night, but the evening before I got out, and it was very, very nice. So yeah, how are you?
Doing well.
Good. Yeah. Coming off a great weekend this last weekend. It was so encouraging, the drive up to share. Just an enormous amount of donations came in, you know, probably, I don't know, 250 families engaged this last weekend in serving, volunteering, driving in, and just being the church in the Chippewa Valley. I was able actually to share some of the resources, some of the toiletries that came in with our health department. So our churches, so we're actually doing meal delivery and helping out those in the homeless population who have COVID. And so they're in quarantine in different places and different hotels. And so we go to one place, pick up food, then go to another place, prepare food. And then we just drop it off at the hotels. And that's been very cool. And apparently one of the things is that, of course, these folks, when they get in these hotels, they don't have any toiletries. And so I said, well, I know where we can get a lot of them because we have hundreds of bottles of shampoo and conditioner and body wash and toothpaste and toothbrushes. And that's going to go, you know, to the Hope Gospel Men and Women's Shelter. And it's going to go, you know, to just different helping agencies. Tons of food came in for the food banks, one in Chippewa and then one in Eau Claire. Just a lot of resources for the Good News Jail and Prison Ministry. And then got like a wall of diapers, a mountain of diapers, and there's actually two or three organizations because no one organization needs that many right now. But there's three that all of them work either with foster care or, again, the women's shelter or the Center for Families through Hope. There's just need for those resources. And it's kind of one of those things that gets hidden because a lot of people, I think, are starting to feel like, man, we're on the backside of COVID. And, you know, some people are kind of even disengaging from even thinking about it or worrying about it too much. And I hope we don't have any spikes and I hope we can get past it. But with the economy turning down, for those who are marginalized, those who are poor, those who are people just don't have a lot of resources, it's not just a hard time, it's a devastating time. It pushes some people who were simply poor into homelessness, some people who were, barely working and working hard to make ends meet, now losing their jobs and now they're facing food insecurity. So it's just a very good time for the church to be very aware of our community. So it's cool.
Well, that's helpful too, because regardless of what the numbers do, realizing that this thing is going to have a long lasting impact on people. And that's what was so encouraging this weekend was watching people say, you know, church isn't just about us and it's not about what we receive. It's about what can we do and what can we give? Yeah. How can we pour back into people? I think we got to see very tangible examples of that.
Yeah.
And it was cool to see our church just engaging in so many different ways. You know, we had people experiencing online church and we had people physically coming to the campus to serve. And it was just a pretty cool weekend.
Yeah, it was great to see everybody. I think the word that I kept using as I saw on people's face is joy. I remember being struck a couple times with seeing some folks who I know well who are kind of more somber, serious people, just kind of quiet, a little more introverted, just with these huge smiles on his face, just kind of drinking in, seeing people and celebrating with people. And it was just a very, very cool event all the way around. So
I think it's cool to give a shout out too to some of our volunteers. I know that Whitney put out the call for people asking if anybody wanted to help, and she got flooded with responses.
She did. She had more people to help than we could have actually helped. So and that's just awesome because we have so many people who are just ready to begin to reengage with church, and so much of that is going on. Our campus is beginning to open for groups and youth and children. We're going to be doing some opening up soon for some small weddings and funerals. We're just got a lot of stuff on the docket that, the church never closed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, July is usually a time where things slow down, and that's probably true for a lot of people. But boy, we have more engagement this summer than I think we've had. I think maybe short of the years we did Builders for Christ. I mean, it's just very, very cool to see the church so alive. Yeah. Cool. Well, we also had a message this weekend, and I think probably a lot of people who came to drive up to share maybe are just getting the message late or downloading podcasts or Vimeoing it or getting on the website. But it was really a very important message. You know, this teaching series we're in is really about kind of laying down the foundations of what the Church of Jesus Christ is supposed to be. And, you know, we're deconstructing some myths that happen when Christianity starts becoming real religious, where we're reestablishing those powerful principles of church life that made the church so powerful it took over the Roman world, that whenever the church embraces these practices, these principles, it gets powerful. And it's things like understanding, you know, that there's no distinction between clergy and laity. We're all the people mm-hmm. of God. We're all the ministers of God. There are some of us who are called to be pastors, to equip God's people to live a life of ministry in everything that we do. You know, it's things that help us understand that the church is not a building or creed or kind of service. The church is the people of God, loving Jesus, loving each other, united together, you know, based on covenant to be the people of God. You know, that you don't have to be in large church to be a great church. You know, that you can do amazing things in small to mid-sized gatherings. And it's just been wonderful to get back to this. Well, this last weekend, we looked at a principle that's taught just all over in the scripture. It's not only taught over explicitly in the teaching passages, or what's sometimes called the didactic passages, but it also is taught evidentially and example-wise by so many of the great leaders in the scripture. And this principle of multiplication, this idea that we have been entrusted with something, and we are investing what we have in something. So the question is not, are we going to invest our life, our time, our talents, our experiences, what we know in what we can bring to the table in something? It's, are we going to invest in something that matters? I guess we could squander a lot of it. Mm-hmm. It becomes very easy to be a person who says, I'm going to play it safe. I'm going to shrink back. But we are called to invest it. And the thing we want to invest our life in is in people. And then in coming alongside those who are not as far along as we are and just journeying with them and, you know, bringing the Christian life to them in a deeper and wonderful way. So we were looking at 2 Timothy. And 2 Timothy, just to create some context, such an amazing book. We're about to do the book of Galatians here in, this week, first Father's Day, and then next week we're going to start Galatians. Galatians is like the opposite kind of book for the Apostle Paul than Timothy, because Galatians is a book written to a region. Galatia is like the county or the region or the state. And most of the people he's writing to, he doesn't know, he hasn't met. It's just that the churches have proliferated. And so he's writing really general concepts, big picture stuff, introducing himself, helping people get to know him in all these different ways. And so it's a general epistle, sometimes it's called. Timothy is the complete opposite. It's a personal letter to someone who he loved, he walked with, he ate with, he struggled with, someone who he has put in a church that he knows. And so it's an incredibly personal letter. It's a letter Paul's writing towards the end of his life. And it's a letter that really is full of all kinds of, principles and teachings related to a life that matters, everything we talk about in terms of legacy. Mm-hmm. And so Paul's talking to this young Timothy, who's in charge of this church now, about how he should be spending his time, how he should be thinking about his life. And the first scripture he looked at was in 2 Timothy chapter 1:14, where he says, by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. So again, that incredible concept of the Holy Spirit being in us, being part of us, being given to each person, that the Holy Spirit isn't just given to a few ordained or anointed people, that when the temple curtain was ripped when Jesus died, the Spirit of God came out and it fell upon men and women and all kinds of people, that Holy Spirit is the source of our power. It's what teaches us. It's what sustains us. He says, by the Holy Spirit, guard. So there's an aspect of something important needs to be protected. Mm-hmm. Guard the good deposit. So something good has been invested in you. And just for people to believe that is a huge thing. Just for people to take a step back and say, there's something good in me, something valuable that I can bring to the table. God has invested something good in you. And some of you say, well, I don't speak, or I don't know a lot of the Bible, or other things like that. Listen, there's something in you that is worth guarding. And another place he's going to say, fan it into flame, mm-hmm. you know, deepen it, make it more significant so that you can guard this deposit because it's been entrusted to you. So that's an issue of stewardship. That's an issue of legacy, that there's something that's been entrusted to you that is really, really important. And then just in the next chapter, in chapter 2, verse 2, he talks about where to invest that deposit. So we're supposed to guard it, we're to fan it in flame, we're to recognize it's a good deposit, it's through the Holy Spirit. He says, you then, my child, and again, you see the intimacy of the friendship, the relationship between Paul and Timothy. He
calls himself a spiritual father in places,
Yeah, that's the kind of thing, and that's the kind of thing that happens when you invest in people. You know, when people know you're willing to invest in them, you're willing to give your time, your thought, your effort, give yourself, man, there's a friendship and an intimacy that is powerful. He says, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So again, grace is God giving us what we don't deserve, what we desperately need. It's both his unmerited favor and his supernatural power that strengthens us. Grace strengthens us. People miss that aspect of grace so often, that grace is also powerful, makes us powerful. He said, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust. So he has been entrusted with something. So now he's going to entrust it in something that someone else. Entrust to faithful men, faithful people, faithful women, who will be able to teach others also. And so what you see here is this incredible four levels of discipleship. So Paul says, you heard me teach a lot of people. You were there. I entrusted this to you. Now, Timothy, I want you to entrust it to others who in turn can trust it to others. And of course, by implication is this never-ending multiplication. You know, it's the difference between one person who creates a church that's dependent on them, and everyone comes to them to know what to do and mm-hmm. what does God want me to do, and will you pray for me, and there's just a dependence there, as opposed to the one person who will disciple two, and then those two will do four, and we've all seen the math, right? Eight, and very quickly you have thousands of people. And that's exactly what happened in the book of Acts. So when they got scattered in the in Jerusalem, man, they just ended up everywhere. Mm-hmm. And that's a powerful thing. You know, it's an important question for us to even ask. So we've not been able to meet in large gatherings here, but really the church has not been hampered that much.
Right.
But what if the church did get hampered? What if some crazy cataclysmic thing came and all of a sudden we couldn't meet anymore? We were persecuted. We were forced to be scattered. Would your faith make it? Is it robust enough? Is it real enough? If Pastor Paul's not doing it, am I going to still do it? If the people who I look as a spiritual giants are going to do it, am I not going to do it? Or is there something in me that I have been entrusted with, that I'm guarding, that I'm strengthening with, that from me there's a seed that, man, that could go on from me? It's a powerful vision for our life. He says in verse 3, the next verse, he says, share then in the suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. So he puts it in the term of a disciplined soldier who would see this as a spiritual battle to guard what's in me and then entrust it to others, you know, understanding this is the kind of stuff that changes the world. Powerful stuff. Yeah.
Well, it shows us that there's a deeper purpose at play. Our faith is not simply for us to get saved, mm-hmm. which is huge. It's massive. It changes our eternity, but that's not the full extent. Okay. The moment you put your faith in Jesus, it's done.
Right.
But instead we're meant to be message bearers.
Yeah.
And to see it that way, I think it changes our faith journey. Mm-hmm. It doesn't become this like, okay, as soon as I pray the prayer or whatever, as soon as I accept Christ, then I have made it. But it helps us to see that for the rest of our days, for the rest of our life, we have a calling.
Yeah.
All of us.
Yeah. I think that's right. I think that I think that for some people, they will hear this and say, yeah, I kind of know that's true and it's a neat concept, but I'm trying to imagine this playing out in my own life. And so that's one of the things I want to challenge people to do is say, okay, what would it look like in your life for you to take this seriously? So it could look like a lot of ways. It could look like you get involved with Rush here at Jacob's Well, and you go to Roxanne and you say, Roxanne, I'm really looking for a couple kids maybe who had this experience. I grew up, maybe you grew up in foster care. You had a divorce home, or you had some other thing. And I would just want to come alongside one of these kids and spend some time with them, walk with them. You know, maybe for you, it looks like getting involved in the high school ministry. And even you were to say to Jordan, is there a couple students, two or three guys, two or three girls, depending whether you're a guy or girl, who I could just meet with and we could just do a Bible study together, or we could just do this study together. I do small groups like that all the time. I mean, that's what that can look like. It can look like something a lot more organic, like a niece or a nephew. It could look like a college student and say, hey, let's just get together and we'll build it around the framework of we'll go through some scripture. But the best conversations are when the best meetings are when you just start talking about life and how it applies and what's going on in my life. You know, and people are always afraid. I'd just be afraid that I'd get exposed. They'd come and they'd ask me something and I wouldn't know what to say. And I mean, you know, what I always come back to with people is, I mean, that happens to me all the time. But what I usually will say to people is, I really don't know the answer to that question. And sometimes, and I've thought about it before, so I don't know where to get the answer to that question. So that's okay. If I'm not the source of that answer, you know, I'm not required to be. But what I'm able to say very often is, let me look that up. Let me look into that. Let me ask some other people. Or maybe let's do a study together in the scripture. And that just opens up the opportunity for us to be able to, again, journey together. It really starts to become a cool thing when you're in these relationships and then those people who are discipling grow. And then all of a sudden, they're telling you things you didn't know.
Yeah.
They're experiencing things that you didn't know. It becomes this mutual kind of walking together.
Well, and if you're thinking about who are the people I could invest in, I think it's just good to realize that all of us have people in our lives already.
Right.
We've got a social circle. We've got certain people that we have some sort of relationship with. And considering that, those are often some of the best people to go to is people who there's already a level of trust, a level of knowing, and then you can deepen that.
Well, and part of it is the willingness to bring a spiritual component to our relationships. Mm-hmm. It's amazing how many Christian people, even with their own kids or brother or sister, they're close, they do life, they know each other well, but they don't know that they'd really be comfortable praying with that person. They don't know that you want to do a Bible study together or something like that. Mm-hmm. But to take the risk, to lean on the awkwardness and saying, let's add a spiritual component to this, I mean, that becomes huge. I really actually think that this verse has such wisdom in it, not just in terms of the spiritual component, in terms of the nature of the church we're discussing, but also in terms of a model for parenting. I mean, ultimately, this is what parents want to do, that as we have been entrusted with something, you know, from our parents, from our experience, from our life, we have these children who we then want to entrust. And that seems so obvious until you realize how often, if you really analyze how a lot of us parent and how I've even parented at times, we're not trying to entrust, we're trying to control. Mm. We think our main job is protect. And of course, when you know have brand new children and babies, it's all protect. But the older they get, the less it should be protected, the more it should be prepare or entrust or empower so that, you know, you ultimately want your kids not to really need you. You want them to walk alongside you, and there's actually a point in the future that you want to be the kind of people who you can trust your last years to. So, I mean, this whole picture of multiplication, of entrusting, such a cool thing, it's such a beautiful thing. It also is one of the things that makes life so meaningful and makes relationships so rich and so sweet. You know, it's the kind of thing you look back at the end of your life and saying, yeah, that's what I'm really very, very grateful that I invested in. So there's a lot here. And again, it's one of these foundational principles in the life of the church that we just desperately need to get back to. So again, the challenge would be for you this week is go back and listen to the message if you haven't had a chance to do that, but then come back and say, okay, God, what does it look like for me to think about that life. Another cool thing is, for those of you who have been invested in, maybe think back and reflect on those people who may be in college or in high school or just some older person who came alongside you and invested in you. And it might be a cool thing to write them a note or an encouraging mm-hmm. something that just says, thanks for doing that, and let them know, and this is what I think I'm going to try to do, or this is what I am doing, to just try to keep what's been entrusted to me going, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. The classic illustration, of course, is the difference between the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. So if you go to the Promised Land, obviously, Israel, two inland bodies of water, major ones. One is the Sea of Galilee, one is the Dead Sea. So the Dead Sea is below sea level, and it's mm-hmm. all the water runs into this from this arid area, and it's so concentrated with elements and salt and whatnot that there's nothing alive in it. It's mm-hmm. just a dead. But the thing about the Dead Sea is everything runs into it, nothing runs out of it. Mm. And not that far away is the Sea of Galilee. And the Jordan River runs in the north side and it runs out the south side. And you have this incredible, lush, fertile, alive with all these species of fish. It's just in the middle of this wilderness, you have this incredible, healthy body of water because it takes in fresh and it puts out fresh. Mm. It gives and it receives. And so again, that's the picture of a meaningful life. The saddest life in the world is a person who's made their life all about receiving, all about getting, all about attaining, all about having. And relationally, at the end of their life, they're like a Dead Sea. So, I mean, that's the thing that, that's just a classic illustration that over the years I've used too. So, yeah.
It's good. I've never heard that one before.
Yeah, there you go. Well, it's classic. Hmm. It's old school. It was entrusted to me by some other person. Now I entrust it to you.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. So now I need to find someone.
Would you, if you could, that'd be
call
great.
Someone, let them know about, you heard of these seas?
Yeah, there's two seas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, cool.
Yeah. Awesome. Right. Well, let's close in a word of prayer.
That'd be great.
Lord God, we pray that this would be true of us, of our entire church body, but as us as individuals, God, that we would be the kind of people who would not only receive, and we wouldn't be about just filling ourselves up, but we would see the value and the importance of what has been entrusted in us, how powerful it is that we have been filled with the Holy Spirit, and that, God, you're the one that gives us the words. You give us the things to say and to speak and to do. And I pray, God, that we would be active members of the body of Christ, entrusting what you've given us to others, and that we would see disciples who make disciples, and that would be the legacy of Jacob's Well. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.